good morning. Having heard the testimony that they worked so hard to prepare in Japanese, I was very impressed, and I am very thankful for their participation in the education of the mana children. So today I want to start with the reading. We'll be reading from Daniel, from chapter 2, verse 19 to 30, and that's about page 676 in the Brown Bibles. Daniel, chapter 2, verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind." If we look at the fourth chapter of Matthew, we see where Jesus is tempted by the devil, and he promises three things. All of these three things are things that any human being would wish to possess. So let us look at Matthew chapter 4. This is page 739 in the Brown Bibles, from verse 8 and 9. "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand..." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." All of the world's power, glory, and fame would be yours, said the devil. Surely any human being would want this. There's nobody who does not want these things. Everything that we have had to give up, if we could get it, we would want to do anything to do so. And in that way, everything could go our way. All things that we wanted would be ours. If we could have everything go as we wish, would it be such a loss to bow down to the devil? In any person, there's such a feeling, I think. Yet, in the same Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 16, Jesus uses these words to explain why he refused the devil at that time. Chapter 16, verse 26, page 751. What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world, yet it forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus knew not anybody would want these things. People think only of themselves. They wish to insist on their own correctness. In reality, we all want to own the whole world. Jesus saw that and knows man. But he tells us that if you have the whole world but lose your life, what good is that? In order to ransom that life, there are things that you have to do. You have to live in this world. In fact, the reason why we want such power is because we fear losing our lives. We all fear that we are going to end. And to relieve that fear, we want to have everything. We think that that will be enough. This is humanity, that we try to live no matter what. But in any world, though you become the number one person there and control it, have fame, power, and glory, none of that is going to stop you from losing your life in the end. And this fact and this fear is something that we cannot get rid of. In the Bible, we see that God created us as beings like himself. And what might we say is most like it? That is the ability to live forever. God has been here since forever, and he will be here until forever. Before God, we committed sin, we double-crossed him, and for that reason, we became subject to death. Human beings are subject to greed. They're full of bad intention and hate. They have murderous intent. They fight. They battle. They gossip and say hurtful things. They hate God. They slight other people. They're full of pride. And in this way, they are subject to death. And so people have to face death as the final end of their lives. But God did not accept this. Instead, he pitied man. And though God had no responsibility whatsoever for the entry of death into humankind, God sent his only son Jesus to us so that he would be killed by us, fixed to the cross and die, and through our Lord Jesus' death on the cross, his sacrifice on our behalf, that those who accepted this would be able to have eternal life restored to them. That's what the Bible teaches us. In the beginning, our lives were eternal. We, through our own mistake, our own sin, lost that. And God has returned it to us. What is of such value to anyone that we be given that gift again, having rejected it? Yet God did so. And so God presents us with this chance to have peace in the knowledge that we are saved in this way. So let us look at what the book of Daniel says in chapter 2, verse 29. We see that the king Nebuchadnezzar has become dry and fearful. So let's look at verse 29. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. Daniel tells the king that he was shown what is going to happen. He says this to the king, he instructs him, and this is why you are afflicted with this fear and uncertainty. No matter what you do, this king Nebuchadnezzar could kill people without any good reason, destroy whole sections of his country, and in this power, he was still uncertain and fearful. He did not know how he was going to die, how he would end. And at the idea of his own end, he became uncertain. That's what Daniel tells him. And he lay there every night on his bed, fearing the future, worrying about what would come. Every time he saw the same dream, he couldn't remember it, but he knew that there was some evil fortune coming on him. And he wanted to do something to solve this problem. And he insisted that somebody should solve this dream for him. And he threatened them with death if they could not do so. In the words in Matthew that Jesus talked about, if you have the whole world, as Nebuchadnezzar did, what good does it do to you if you lose your life? Your fame will be swallowed in history and forgotten. And nothing was offered to him. That's what Daniel explained to him. Nebuchadnezzar threatened to kill all the wise men. And Daniel, who was said to have the wisdom of 10 men, who should have been powerful in this world, yet his prayer to God was different. He asked that the meaning of the king's vision be revealed to him and that he be pitied. Look at verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And so he went to the king and said, "Give me a minute to explain to you." The king would not give any time. So perhaps in about 24 hours, Daniel made his prayer and was given the revelation. All he could do was pray to God, and God gave him what he needed. Next time I want to talk about the message that was given to Daniel in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, but let me abstract it. At the time of Daniel was the Babylon Empire. And the thing was that the Babylonian Empire would be replaced by the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire would be destroyed and be replaced by the Greek Empire. After the Greek Empire, it would also be destroyed, and the longest, greatest empire ever would be the Roman Empire. And yet, the Roman Empire, even so, would fall into destruction. And so, this was shown to Daniel. That was the dream that the king had had. And he said this to Nebuchadnezzar. And so, what Daniel had to say to Nebuchadnezzar was that his glory, his power, was a failure. Being able to do this, he gave a prayer of thanks to God. But at the end, in verse 23, he says, I give you thanks and I praise you. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what was asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. In Japanese, this is the heart of the king. What Daniel knew was that the king was grappling with the fear of his own death. And he knew that the king was fearful. And then, from God, he knew the whole dream. And he goes to Nebuchadnezzar and he says, this is what you have seen. And in verse 30, we see Daniel saying, as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. That you may know your own mind, is what Daniel says to the king. This is a very dangerous thing to say to such a king. You have gained the whole world. You have power over the whole world, and yet you don't know your own mind. And this was the truth. If you look at King Nebuchadnezzar, he had the greatest power ever in the world. And yet, to him, he was unable to admit that he had fear. He was unable to show it to others. And yet Daniel told him that. He was in fear of what would happen to him. He was worried about it, and yet he couldn't show it to anyone. And yet there, Daniel was telling him that this is what your dream was, your own fear about yourself. This is what I'm going to tell you about what's in your own heart, said Daniel. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king what he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals messages. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. He talks about three things. First, there is a God who is far above you. He is the Creator Lord of the world. It is actually God who rules this world. God has something he wants to say to you, is the second thing. And the third thing is that something that human understanding cannot grasp. And the third is that the king's fear is that he will end. He doesn't know how he will end. He doesn't know how he will die. This is what he fears. again the three things. There is a God far above you. This God has something he wants to say to you. And King, this fear that you have is that you fear your own end. You are afraid of death. That's what Daniel is telling to this king. This king who controlled the whole world has said things that cause the king to lose great faith and yet face, and yet he said this without fear. How could he do this? It's the king, it's the truth. And the king had nothing he could do. He feared for his own future. And he was oppressed by his situation, though he had all this power in the kingdom. This is the God who created all things, but he did not believe in it. King Nebuchadnezzar did not believe in God. And so he needed someone to explain to him the message that had been shown to him. Do you think that Christians are the only people who receive message from God? Is the message from God only intended for Christians? Of course not. God's message is not given to Christians only. It's given to everyone. Everyone can see it. The Father who created, Father God who created the world, has left all sorts of signs. The mountains, every flower that blooms, all the animals, how life begets life. Paul tells us in Romans, chapter 1, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." No matter where we look, we see that God is living. We see that God's will is done. Everywhere in the world. This is visible to everyone. And yet, having been born into this, somehow, cannot see God's presence, cannot see God's will. In the Bible, as well, the words of the Bible, you can buy a Bible anywhere. You can go to, even in Greece, and today you can receive Bibles for free from the Gideons and other groups. It's a bestseller in the world. In this world, anybody can see God's word. It's easy to find, easy to read. And God's word is replete in the Bible. And yet, people open the Bible and read it. It's like a 3D movie. Have you ever seen a 3D movie? You have to have 3D glasses, right? If you try to watch it without it, it's unnerving. There's a huge spectacle that you know is there before you, but you can't see it very clearly. The meaning is not clear. Have you ever tried taking off your goggles when your glasses when you were in a 3D movie, and you actually become feeling sick because of the strange way it's broadcast? You feel tired or sleepy, you feel sick to your stomach, and it's hard to understand. And people feel the same way about the Bible. It's very confused, and they want to rip it up and throw it away, some of them. God's message is given to everyone, is where anyone's eyes can come upon it, and yet somehow, in order to accept it and understand it, you need God's Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. That's what we're taught. That's what Paul tells us, looking at the first Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 11, 16. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Without the mind of Christ, we cannot understand God's word. We cannot understand God's plan. We can't understand God's message. Without God's mind, without Christ's mind, we cannot receive the Holy Spirit, and we cannot understand God's message. And Nebuchadnezzar was such a man. There was no Christ mind in him, and he had not received God's Spirit. Though he had the power to kill anyone, to control the whole world, yet he could not understand the message that was given directly to him by God in his dream. And he could not sleep at night for this. It was like he was watching a 3D movie without the glasses every night. In the same way, his eyes became tired, his heart became fearful. In order to understand God's message, his power had no effect, was of no worth to him. Now, what is the opposite of power or authority or whatever? I didn't find anything what is the opposite of authority? And I decided it was powerless. The opposite of authority is powerless. If we look at Daniel, we see that he is the powerless man. And what did he get for this? His own country had been destroyed. He'd been separated from his parents. He was taken prisoner to a different country at the age of 17. And somehow he wanted to live, but then he was now placed in a situation where he was a prisoner on death row. And because he was in prison, he couldn't even exercise his human strength as his muscles. So he had no power. He was powerless. And what was amazing about Daniel was that he simply confessed his powerlessness. Nebuchadnezzar had built up all his power before man. But Daniel, before God, over and over again admitted how powerless he was. And this ability to admit his powerlessness brought him to this small single prayer, and that became Daniel's great power. Let's look at verse 18. At this, he urged them to plead for mercy from God of kingdom concerning his mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praised be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him." The fact that Daniel was powerless, he admitted it before God. He prayed for God's pity. This was Christ's mind inside of Daniel's heart. And so this dream that was confusing to Nebuchadnezzar, that caused him such great fear, was revealed to Daniel. Here, Daniel showed how his powerlessness could overcome the authority of the king. Before God, he admitted his own powerlessness. He prayed his small prayer and became powerful. He was granted power by God. My mentor in America once said these things to me. To a minister, the greatest, most precious, or the greatest enemy is to think that one is smart. To think that you're smart means that you will lose strength in your Bible study, you'll stop reading, you may not even pray, and you will think that you are a wise person and stop growing. To a minister, the most important, most precious thing is to know of one's own, is to admit one's own powerlessness. This was what Daniel did. He admitted this with innocence and purity. And because of that very thing, he was able to pray a small thing to God. Why couldn't Nebuchadnezzar have the same thing? Why can't we have the same thing? Because we think of ourselves as powerful, as wise, as smart. But in this small prayer that Daniel offered, he was revealed things that Nebuchadnezzar himself did not know about his dream. And this little prayer that he offered allowed him to overcome the king, protect people, and protect the whole country from the king's fear. So to admit that one is powerless is to gain true power. This is because this power that we need is given to each of us in God's message. If we are led by God's Spirit, we can find this message for ourselves. Because he admitted he was powerless, God gave him at that time the power that he needed to interpret the dream and gain the favor of the king. We can say this with our lips, but do we actually admit it? I think there's a stubborn part of each of us that wants to be powerful. If we admit our own powerlessness and offer a small prayer to God, then we can get what we need. It's not to be powerless that makes us without strength. It's that we can't admit our powerlessness. If we can offer even a small prayer, God will receive it and give us what we need. I want to each of us to experience that grace. So let us pray. God, I give you thanks for this word of today, that even if you have the whole world, there is something that cannot be taken away, this fear that is always with us. Thank you for your teaching. And like Nebuchadnezzar, I want to admit our powerlessness the way that Nebuchadnezzar himself could not. We have seen our own stubborn selves in Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel admitted his powerlessness with innocence and purity. He admitted it before his brothers, before God, and before himself. And so Daniel was given a Christ mind and was able to pray to you. Can we in the same way admit our own powerlessness? Please, give to us as well the Christ mind, and through your Spirit, help us to understand your message. Please bless us, grant us your grace. Though we have no power and no Spirit, you gave us your Spirit, and we ask that we be able to understand your message. Today's Bible verse is precious, and we give you thanks for it. In the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.